This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Qudwatina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa arzuqna tiba'a wa arina al-batila batila wa arzuqna ijtinaba. علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, with the 40th hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, we continue tonight with the 9th hadith. With the 9th hadith, in which this hadith has been narrated by the great companion Abu Hurairah. Inshallah, I'll read it in Arabic and then we'll elaborate that in English. عن أبي هريرة عبد الرحمن بن صخر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه وما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم فإنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم كثرة مسائلهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم رواه البخاري ومسلم. It has been narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what I have forbidden you, or what I have forbidden to you, avoid. And what I have ordered you to do, do as much as of it as you can. It was only the excessive questioning and the disagreeing with their prophets that destroyed those who before you. Narrated or related by Imam al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great companion from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His original name is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr. He was named Abu Hurairah because he used to have little kittens that used to get under his sleeves. So Nabi alayhi sallam one day saw him and he said, what's this? So he said, oh Prophet Allah, it's a hirra, it's a little kitty, you know, a little cat. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him and named him Abu Hurairah. He is from the tribe of Daws, and he was one of the late companions who became a Muslim. So he was not the early comers to Islam, and he did not live long with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he lived to about 3 years, maybe even less. And Abu Hurairah is one of the great narrators of the hadith that narrated a great number of the ahadith. He narrated so many ahadith that some scholars say he narrated most of the ahadith. He says in this hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه وما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. عليه الصلاة والسلام is addressing his nation, saying that whatever I've forbidden you, or whatever I've forbidden to you, then keep away from. No questioning. When the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم forbids something, you must keep away from that forbidden thing that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had forbidden. And then he says, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُمْ مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I order you to do so, then do what you can. Do what you can. So here you've got the two wings of the halal, haram, which is the haram and the halal, which is what's haram and what's fard or sunnah. We know our sharia, the rulings, ahkam al-sharia, are five main rulings. Things that you must keep away from, and that's where haram and makruh is. Or the things you must keep away, that's where haram and makruh are. And things that you should do, or things that you are recommended to do, and that's where the fard and the sunnah are. And in the middle, there's something called neutral, which is something called mubah. The haram is what the scholars say is what Allah Azza wa Jal, or the Shari', the Shari' is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had ordered a strict order to stop something. So the haram is an order that you must stop doing something. And in other words, if you do it, you get sins, if you don't do it, you get hasanat. Makruh is something just under it, something that it's disliked. The Shari', Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dislikes it. Yani it's not from the beauty of the actions of the believer. And that dislike is what we refer to makruh. And some scholars go over, say makruh tahrim, makruh tanzih, and so on. And then you've got the fard and the sunnah. Fard is what the shari', is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered you that you must do. And then you've got the sunnah is something that the shari' recommends you to do. The fard, if you do it, you get hasanat. If you don't do it, you get sayyat. The sunnah, if you do it, you get hasanat. If you don't do it, you don't get sayyat or hasanat. And what's in between, something that's permissible, you are allowed to do it. Whether you do it or you don't do it, you don't get no hasanat or sayyat. Here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a firm order, he says that whatever I order you to stop, stop it. No questioning. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about the haram. That if I order you to stop doing something, you stop it completely. You stop it completely without a questioning. And of course, all the haram, all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbade on us, it's all because of our benefit. Because Allah azza wa jal said, إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَبْلُغُوا ضَرِّي فَتَضُرُّونِي وَلَن تَبْلُغُوا نَفْعِي فَتَنْفَعُونِي. You will never reach to the state where you could harm me, or you never reach to the state that you benefit me. Our good actions do not benefit Allah. Our bad actions do not harm Allah Azza wa Jal. It's the good that we do benefits us. It's the bad that we do will harm us. But when Allah Azza wa Jal forbids things on us, it's because of the good for us. It's because of the good for us. And when Allah Azza wa Jal orders us to do something, it's because of the good for us too. It's because the good that comes back to us. Realize when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that what I order you to keep away from, you must do. And what I order you to do, then do from it what you can. Do what from it what you can. So when it comes to the haram, there's no questioning. There is no capability or capacity. You must stop it, no doubt. When it comes to the good, then you should put as much as effort that you can into that good. You should put as much as effort into that good that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned. And we know that the halal and the haram from the hadith that we mentioned before, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna al-halal bayyin wa inna al-harama bayyin." The halal is clear, is evident, is very bright. And haram is clear, is evident, very bright. What I mean bright? Bright to know if it's haram or halal. Not bright in itself, of course. The haram is darkness. The haram is darkness, but it's bright to know that it's haram. And it's bright to know it's halal. It's clear, it's evident. So it's not something that people get confused in. Is this halal or this haram? Nabi made it very clear. And what's in between? There are some grey areas. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered that to be also as haram. And Nabi alayhi sallam considered that as also to be as haram. Your job as a Muslim always to keep away from the haram. That's number one. You are required to keep away from the haram before you implement the fard. You are required to keep away from the haram before you bring the good. That's why there's a very important qaida, dar al mafasid muqaddam ala jalb al masalih. There is an important qaida that says to keep away from bad comes before bringing good. And that's why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that whatever I order you to stop, you stop it without any questioning. You stop it with your full capacity. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, and whatever good I order you to do, then bring from it whatever you can. Bring from it whatever you can. That's why as a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from you to keep away from the haram. The taqwa, ya ikhwani, the taqwa is not about the belief and the taqwa and the iman. Is not about me doing the good and all the good. But what's more important in the taqwa before you do the good is to keep away from the haram. That's why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, keep away from the haram, you'll be the best of worshipper to Allah. So the great worship to Allah Azza wa Jal, to please Allah, is to keep away from the haram and then do the good. And that's why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the taqwa is not the mixture of praying at night and fasting during the day. But the taqwa to Allah azza wa jal is to keep away from the haram. The taqwa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to please Allah azza wa jal by not disobeying Him. This is the taqwa. And then you add on that by doing the good. Then you add on that by doing the good and doing the fara'id and doing the sunnah. Not I mean that, well, I keep away from the haram and you stop doing the fard. No, but the priorities in Islam, that you keep away from the haram and then you do the fard. That's important. Keeping away from the haram. And that's why the taqwa is to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal by not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For someone that does not disobey Allah Azza wa Jal and does a little bit of good, better than someone that does a lot of good and disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For someone that disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal, for someone that does a lot of good and disobeys Allah, he's not as good as someone that does a little bit of good and does not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدُ النَّاسِ في Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep away from the haram, you'll be the best of worshipper to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be the best of worshipper to Allah azza wa jal. Of course, ya ikhwani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, and Allah azza wa jal created a human being and knows his capacity. And that's why Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask from his servants what they can't do. Sometimes the haram becomes permissible in areas where it becomes so hard and there is a necessity. And that's why the scholars came up with a principle saying, al-mahdhurat ad-darurat tubih al-mahdhurat, that the necessities make sometimes what's forbidden allowed. It doesn't make it, and it makes it fard. I'm saying what's forbidden, sometimes in necessities and areas of darura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to do it. Not like it turns into haram, it just Allah allows you to do it. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to in the Quran al-Kareem about not drinking the wine or eating the pork. فَمَنَ اسْتُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ. Allah said, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla speaking about what had forbade, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden from eating the meat and the meat of the pork and so on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever is forced to, like someone in the middle of the desert or someone in the middle of the jungle and there's no food around and he's got no hopes that he'll get to an area with his halal food, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, whoever eats that pork that Allah had forbidden, it's allowed for them. Why? Because of the necessity, because of the darura, because of the darura. And same thing with what Allah Azza wa Jalla had ordered us. Sometimes the fard, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you concessions. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some areas with the haram, Allah azza wa jal will allow you to do the haram in some areas because of the necessity of it. Allah azza wa jal in some of the fara'id that Allah azza wa jal had ordained on you, Allah will give you concessions. Like how someone is traveling, Allah azza wa jal orders us to pray 5 times a day in 5 different times. And for you to pray duhur in asr time is a major sin. But Allah azza wa jal, because of the hardship they go through traveling, Allah allowed you to combine between the two prayers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes those who break their fasting during the month of Ramadan. They do not bring or they do not fast the fard, fasting on the day of Ramadan. But when you are traveling, Allah azza wa jalla gives you the concession, which we call al-rukhsa. Allah azza wa jalla gives you the concession during the month of Ramadan. If you're a traveler, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you if you break your fast. So Allah azza wa jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained orders, and Allah azza wa jalla had forbidden things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered things for the things that must be done. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time had given us the concession, Allah azza wa jalla had given us the permission to do what's haram in some areas in which there is a necessity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you the concession to miss out on some of the fara'id or to make them up in a different way in some of the areas in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained. And this is from the rahmah of Allah azza wa jal, and this is from the great Sharia, from the great tashri'ah of Islam that Allah Azza wa Jalla put in this Quran. The Quran al-Karim is a perfect Quran, and the laws and the rules of the Quran al-Karim are perfect for mankind, that suits the human being in every single aspect in their life. And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed on us, and Allah revealed to us, what Allah Azza wa Jalla ordered us to pray 5 times a day. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even told us what to do when we are traveling. This is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Karim in many verses, يريد الله بكم اليسرى وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants what's easy on you. He doesn't want what's hard on you. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلَ لَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not make in a burden, in a hardship over you in this deen. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sent his deen smooth and soft and easy on his servant. But it's us that we neglect the orders of Allah Azza wa Jalla due to our shahawat, due to because of our desires. We follow our desires. People find it hard to come to the house of Allah and pray a prayer that will take him 10 minutes. But they don't find it hard to get to a football stadium and sit there for 3-4 hours and stand in a line for 2 hours just to get in and to walk out 2 hours. They don't find it hard. They find it very entertaining. But when it comes to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's like all the hardships in this world came over their heads. Allahu Akbar. Tell them, come to the mosque. It's like, subhanAllah, he's got to prepare what he prepares when he travels. Come to the mosque. How about my family? How about this? How about that? Let's go to the haram. Forget about the family. Let's go. That's the nature of people. People fall into that. For the nature of human being, the human being loves the desire and love to follow his desires, and the human being loves to follow what he loves to do most. But at the same time, there are orders and barriers that you must not get over. And these orders and barriers is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to do. And what Allah orders us to do, we must do it. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to keep away from, we must keep away from. But the haram is very important for you to keep away from. And the halal, you must try your best to do. The halal, you must try your best to do. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Azza wa Jal does not ask from my soul what I can't do. Allah does not ask from us all what I can't do. And at the same time, as what the scholar said, Al-Maysur la yusqit al-Ma'sur. And if something that Allah had ordered you to do, Allah Azza wa Jal had ordered you to pray, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to make wudu before you pray, and Allah Azza wa Jal had ordered you to pray your fard prayer while you're standing up. These are all the orders of Allah Azza wa Jal. Standing up in a fard prayer is an obligation, is a rukun. Some people are ill. Some people are ill, can't stand up. So what do? You must stand up for what you can. So it doesn't mean if you can't do all the fard 100% perfectly, you could only do 50% perfectly, then you must do that 50% perfectly. And if you can't do the 100%, you could only do 50% of it, then you must do the 50% of it. You can't, because wallahi, I'm missing out on 50%, I miss out on the whole thing. So if I can't, for example, stand in the four rak'at, then I'll stand up in the 2 rak'at of the 4 rak'at if I can. And it works that way. Another example, for example, I have enough water to wash my hands and my face, but I don't have enough water to wash my feet for wudu. Then you must wash your hands and your face with that water that you have, and then you make tayammum for your feet. So if there is something, if you can do some of the good, and you can't do all of it, then you must do the sum. You can't just, because you can't do all, you leave it. Because you can't do all, you leave it. If you could do some of it, then you do some of that good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you on it. So this is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنُهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and whatever the Prophet had given you, take from him. And whatever Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever the Prophet had ordered you to keep away from, keep away from. It's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam warned. He warned about people that will come later. That will say that whatever we find in the book of Allah will take. And whatever we don't see outside, whatever we see outside the book of Allah will reject. In other words, that will only take from the Quran and that's it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned about that type of people. And he said, by Allah, whatever the Prophet of Allah says is what Allah says. So whatever the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah says is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And you take by what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Some people even these days, that even by the name of the Qur'aniyin, the people of the Qur'an, they only take from the Qur'an, they don't take from the Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an al-Kareem, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنُهُ فَانْتَهُوا. What do you do with this verse? And whatever the Prophet had given you, take. And whatever he had ordered you to keep away from, keep away from. So it is a must, an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an al-Kareem, to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt. And denying the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is denying an important and a major primary principle in Islam, and that would lead to kufr wal-iyadu billah. So whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders us, we must take. It's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an order from Allah azza wa jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had even said in the Qur'an al-Kareem, him, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah said that Allah had made the Messenger of Allah as an example for you, O people. So Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is an example for us, and we must take him as an example. We do what he did, and we keep away from what he kept away from. And we follow him صلى الله عليه وسلم. And no way we could ever accept the day that we say that, oh, I only follow what's in the Quran, and I keep away from what Allah, what the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned. The other half of the hadith in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ مَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. And that's a very important hadith. Alayhi salatu wasalam said that what destroyed the previous nation before you is there too much questioning, asking too many questions, irrelevant questions, asking too many questions and putting their noses in areas that should not put, and their disagreement over the Prophet. And this is something that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taught the companions, not to ask questions that should not ask. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tasalu an ashya'in tubda lakum tasukkum. Do not ask questions. Do not ask over matters that will at the end will bring harm to you. Don't ask things that there's no need for it. And this is a disease in the hearts of the hypocrites. The hypocrites always like to put the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam down and the companions down and Islam down, but always questioning questions. Why this? Why that? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't that happen? Why was this come? Why did this come like this? Why did this? And always asking those questions. As a strong believer, you have your full trust in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You follow him. Even be a blind follower to him. This is an honor for you to be a blind follower to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At least he is the one that Allah azza wa jalla had guided. At least he's the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Came to us, we take it. We take whatever he says without questioning. We take whatever he says and we take his orders and we implement his orders without saying why. This is the true love to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. This is the true love to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam and the true following of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is to follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam whatever he orders and whatever he says without questioning why. This hadith was mentioned when the Prophet alayhi salatu was speaking about Hajj, and he was saying Allah had ordered you to perform Hajj. So one of the companions stood up, he said, O Prophet Allah, is it every year? Does Allah Azza wa Jal order us to perform Hajj every year? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah orders you to perform Hajj. So that companion got up again and said, O Prophet Allah, is it every year? And every year we must perform Hajj. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam for the third time he said, Allah orders you to perform Hajj. So that man once again stood up and he said, O Prophet Allah, is it every year? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry and he said, Da'uni ma da'awtukum. Da'uni ma da'awtukum. Leave me what I had left you with. Just take it. Understand it the way he's mentioned. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah had ordered you to perform Hajj. It means once. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, if I said yes, every year would have been yes. If I said yes, every year, it would have happened. And then you can't even do it. People struggle to perform Hajj once in a lifetime. Could you imagine that the Prophet ﷺ said yes, and it would have been every year? It would have been a chaos for us. It would have been a big hardship for us. Well, how are you going to get 500 million Muslims in one place? Impossible. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام صلى الله عليه وسلم had taught the companions not to ask questions, not to ask too many questions, not to ask too many things that would lead back then to that would bring harm back to you, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said. As a Muslim, okay, whatever the Prophet ﷺ cleared to us, we take it. Whatever the scholars cleared to us, we take it. But to get into too deep in some areas that we're not fit for, we should keep away from. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal even mentioned the Quran al-Kareem, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخرى متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله. Allah is talking about the Quran al-Kareem and the verses in the Quran al-Kareem. The majority of the verses of the Quran al-Kareem are the foundation of the book of the muhkam, the clear verses. And then there are a small number of verses which are called the mutashabihat, the unclear. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, those with diseases in their hearts follow the unclear. They want to ask, what's this? What's that? What does it mean from Allah's hand? Is it a hand like a hand? Or is it a hand like this? Or is it a hand like that? And keep on going into areas they shouldn't even get into. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. No one knows the interpretation of it except Allah. And those who have iman in their hearts, and those who have iman in the heart, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّ بِهِ. They say, oh Allah, we believe in it. We believe in it. So as a Muslim, I shouldn't always ask why. That question why If there is an answer for it, you take it. If there's not an answer for it, you shouldn't get into it and keep on asking why. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Abu Bakr. He said, by Allah, everyone that are called to Islam and everyone that invited to Islam had a doubt in their heart except Abu Bakr. When I called him to Islam, the only thing he said is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Every companion the Prophet ﷺ spoke to had a doubt in their heart except the Prophet ﷺ. Because of that, Nabi ﷺ praised him. Because of that, Nabi ﷺ praised him. And Abu Bakr was named the Siddiq when alayhi salatu wasalam went on the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. And people were talking about, hey, how could this man go within a few minutes at night, go all the way to Jerusalem and back, and it takes us 2 minutes one way. So they came to the Abu Bakr and said, did you hear what your friend is saying? That he went to Jerusalem and back in one night and it takes us four months to go and come back. So he said, if he said that, I believe him. If he said that, I believe him. And by Allah, I believe him even more. And that's when he was named, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as-siddiq. That's the day he was named. That's the iman, the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the trust in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Not everything he says, why? Not everything he orders, why? Not everything sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does, why? No, I follow him alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is my test in this world. This is my test in this world. Why don't we see Allah? Why don't we see the angels? Why don't we see the jinn? Why don't we see the paradise? Why don't we see the hellfire? It motivates us. Why? These are all questions people want to ask. If you see those, then there's no point for you to worship Allah then. What's the point? Everyone will be a worshipper. Everyone will be a good... Allah tests us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. And Allah azza wa jalla puts us in this world as dar bala, u dar ibtila, u dar imtihan. Allah azza wa jalla puts us in this world as a test, to test us. Do we believe in Him without seeing those things? Do we believe in His paradise and work hard for it without seeing it? Do we believe in the hellfire and work hard to keep away from it without seeing it? Do we believe in the angels without seeing them? This is the test. The whole test revolves around that. Do you believe in what Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned in the Quran al-Karim without seeing it? Or you want why? You want to get the answer why? You want to know why these things, these things are unseen? This is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the test from Allah azza wa jal. That's why my brothers and sisters, we believe in what Allah azza wa jal had revealed. And we believe what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ordered without questioning. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cleared things to us, we take it. If it's not clear, then we shouldn't look for it. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that that disease was the disease of the people in the previous nations. And that's what made them always disagree with the Prophet. The people of Musa used to always disagree with Musa. Why this, why that? No, it should be this and it should be that. Why can't we see your Lord? Why come? Why do they have an idol that they could see? We can't see. That's what they told Musa. Why do they have an idol and a Lord that could see and we can't see our Lord? Why is this and why is that? We're not going to take, we're not going to accept. And when Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him the Ten Commandments, he came and said, Allah ordered you this. So they said, we'll look into it. Whatever we like, we'll take. Whatever we don't like, we'll reject. So Musa alayhi salam said, Allah is telling you, خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ. Take what Allah had given you with enforcement. Enforce it over them. So they said, no, whatever we like will take, or whatever we'd Allah will reject. So Allah Azza wa Jal ordered a mountain, massive mountain, to be pulled and put and went over their heads. Could you imagine a mountain just over your head? A mountain, a full mountain went over their head, and the mountain said, خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ. Take what Allah had given you. The mountain spoke. And the mountain is at the top of their heads. Could you imagine a mountain, a building flying at the top of your head? You can't imagine it, but Allah can do it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla made that mountain at the top of their heads. And the mountain spoke and said, take what Allah had ordered you to take. Take what Allah had ordered you to take and prostrate to Allah. So they're prostrate and looking at the mountain, you know, at the top of them. So this is the disease that was in Bani Israel. That whatever Musa used to tell them, why? Allah orders you this, we'll look into it. Allah orders you not to do that, why? It benefits us. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells you do that, no. And they became so strict on themselves that Allah became strict on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Musa to go into Jerusalem and Allah prepared for them a land. Allah has given them a land different to the land that we're living in Egypt. Allah has given them the greatest of land, the holiest of land. They call it kingdom of heaven now. Jerusalem, Palestine. So there was a gigantic people, very strong people and tough people. So they said, oh Musa, we're going to fight these people. We're not capable of fighting those people. So Allah said, go inside and fight and we'll give you victory. They said, no, we're not going to go inside and fight. Allah guarantees you victory, but we're not going to go inside and fight. So Allah said, just go in and then fight, we'll give you victory. So they said, we're not going to go in. So they told Musa, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هنا قاعدون. Oh Musa, go, you and your Lord fight, we are sitting waiting for you to come back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, a severe punishment. That punishment is called عذاب التي. What's the عذاب? The punishment of lost. What's the, Allah made them lost on earth for 40 years. They can't find a land, they can't find a village or a city or a town. Someone will say, I know there's a city that side. They'll walk for years and they never get to it. They were just lost on earth. Allah made them lost on earth for 40 years. Punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Too much questioning. Why is this? Why that? Well, no, we don't like it. No, we don't. Questioning. Why is that? No, it doesn't happen. This. My common sense is that. My common sense is this. It's not common sense to me. It's not common sense. It doesn't work that way. And that's why Islam is not based just on common sense. Not everything in Islam was based on common sense. That's why Ali ibn Abi Talib said, if Islam was based on common sense, بالمنطق, then to wipe. What's the bottom of the khuf is better to wipe from the top. You know, when you wipe over your socks, Islamically only required to wipe the top. To wipe the top. But common sense tells you wipe the bottom. The top hasn't touched anything. But Islamically you have to wipe the top. Islam is not based on common sense. Islam is based on a revelation. Islam is based on the wahi. And the wahi is coming from Allah Azza wa Jal. So my job in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my job in front of my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to take the orders without questioning. And if they already explained to us, we take it. If it's not explained to us, I could ask once. And if I know there's no chance, I'll stop. But I don't keep wanting to go in. I want to go in as further as I want to. I want to go as further as I can. Why this? Why that? A lot of things in Islam doesn't. Okay, why? Why do you pray 4 rak'at duhur? Why do you pray 4 rak'at duhur and 2 rak'at asr fajr? Yeah, like, go and do your homework. I'll see you after 50 years. Why do you pray 2 rak'at fajr and why do you pray 4 rak'at duhur? Why is it 3 rak'at maghrib and is it 4 rak'at isha? Why is it 3? Why is it 4? Why can't it be the opposite? What's that 4 and 3 got to do with it? Do you have an answer? But some people want an answer. And if you don't give them an answer, they're not going to accept. And if they don't accept, they don't want to act upon it. It doesn't work that way. See, that's your test in front of Allah. There's no answer to it. Absolutely, there's no answer. Allah knows why. But us, we're never going to get the answer in this world. And the hereafter, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and wants to give us the answer, He gives it to us. So not everything you want an answer. Why is it this? Why is it that? Why is it came to him? Why did it come? It doesn't work that way. You take what Allah orders you, that you test in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. If there's an answer to something, alhamdulillah. If there's no answer to it, you accept it. Ahaz, you do, you go through hardships. That by Allah, if someone probably pays $500,000 to do a haircut, for the sake you would not do it. Hardships. Going from a place to another place, so on, so on. At the end of the day, all you have to do is ask, why is all this done? You can't even get an answer. Why do we stand on Arafah? Why do we go through the Jamarat? Why do we do this? No answer. And that's where all goes. What the scholars call this? They call that Amrun Ta'abudi. We've got something, Ibadah, worship. Wa Ta'abudi is a worship that you worship Allah Azza wa Jalla because Allah ordered you without a question. Khalas, Allah ordered me to do so, I do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered me to do so, I do. And that's my position from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned from too much questioning, from too much disagreement, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they used to disagree with their prophets. This man gets revelation from Allah. You're going to fight with him, argue with him? This man gets revelation from Allah azza wa jal. This man gets revelation from Allah and you argue with him, you dispute with him, you're trying to tell him what's right and what's wrong. Some people do have that disease. For my brothers and sisters, the true servant of Allah Azza wa Jal, the true abd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that one that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeys Allah Azza wa Jal for the love of Allah and His Prophet. That's why I love the saying of a great woman, her name is Rabi' al-Adawiyya. She says, Ilahi, O Allah, I do not worship you for the sake of your paradise, and I don't worship you for the sake of preventing me from the hellfire. I worship you because you're a Lord that deserves to be worshipped. I worship you because you're a Lord that deserves to be worshipped. I don't worship you, and of course we all worship Allah on the paradise and the hellfire to prevent us from the hellfire. But the greatest of worship is to worship Allah because you love Allah. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you want to obey Allah. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you want to get close to Allah. Not because you fear Allah azza wa jal because of His hellfire or because you want the paradise. It's because you fear Allah because of Him. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of Him. You love Allah azza wa jal because of Him. You worship Him because of Him. You obey Him because of Him. You get closer to Him because of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what the scholars say. The greatest of worship is to worship Allah because you worship Him. You love Him, you fear Him, you get closer to Him, not because of the paradise, not because of the hellfire, because of Him. And those who worship Allah Azza wa Jalla because they fear the hellfire and the paradise also. And it's not like that, no, it's also this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those who listen and act upon what they listen. May Allah reward you all. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.